Hello, you beautiful soul. Welcome. You are here listening to the Claudia Varas podcast. I am your host, Claudia Varas, a former corporate manager in tech, turned career change and mindset coach and business owner. This podcast is all about a real, raw, unsketched, and fun perspective on all things related to our human experience. It is a space for us to, for once, slow down and talk deep. We cover real and raw stories alongside with practical key takeaways and tips on how to reconnect with your authentic self so that you can achieve any fucking goal that you desire in your career and life without hustling and actually trying to fit in. Listen, my mission is to help you heal at soul level and raise the vibration of the planet. And you, my dear listener, a part of this mission. It's only through these kind of conversations that we inspire others to take action and think differently. That's how we actually make a change in the world. So your task is to go and share this episode or any one or two insights and learnings with two friends and tell them that if that inspired them too, to share it with two more friends. Let's create a ripple effect together and change the world. My beautiful listener. So part one was about how I got on a TEDx stage. And today is part two of the three-part TEDx experience, which focuses more on specifically the 1 week before the event. There was so much going on that I've decided to do a three-part instead of the two-part, because that journey, this 1 week before the event and the preparation of it, there are so many incredible learnings and lessons and insights that I want to share with you that it deserves its own episode. And so here we are. Are you excited? I am. I'm wiggling all around here on my pillow that I'm sitting on my floor, because I'm just very, very excited to let you into my world on how I have been preparing 1 week before the TEDx event. And I highly recommend that you listen to part one. It gives you a lot of the context on the intentional strategies, the actions that I have taken in order to get to that point, in order to be accepted to the TEDx stage, in order, like what has happened, there was quite last minute, all of these things. And now I want you to imagine that it is Sunday, and on Wednesday, 1 week from there, so the next Wednesday, so not the coming Wednesday, but the Wednesday after, is when the TEDx event is happening. And on that day, I had my first call with a coach. So when you're assigned, when you are selected as a speaker for a TEDx event, you will get assigned a coach, a TEDx coach, that helps you to create the story, that helps you throughout this whole process of creating a very, very strong talk. And so I had a session with my TEDx coach, the first one, on Sunday for 1 hour to brainstorm further the topic. Keep in mind that it's been 4 days up until then that I knew that I would be selected as a TEDx speaker, and I got to know why we were on a mountain trip in Andorra, and so I haven't worked on the talk at all. Now, the first, I guess this is already the first point, is that just because you don't sit down and type and write things doesn't mean that you are making progress, doesn't mean that you're actually working on it. What I came to realize, especially when you work on creative things, when you work on your talk, when you work on your idea, when you work on yourself, literally in anything, and this doesn't matter whether you're a business owner or an entrepreneur or a full-time mom, is that just because you're not ticking off things off your to-do list doesn't mean that you're not making progress. In fact, I came to realize throughout my own journey, going slightly away more from the doing and being more in the being, is that when you're actually in the being, in the moment, this is where I make the most progress, because you're not only doing out of like this robot mode, but you actually step back and tune into yourself and enjoy the process along the way as well. So something for you to reflect on and take away with you is, like, when I say that just because you're not ticking off things from a to-do list doesn't mean that you're making progress. Or in other words, you are making progress even though you're not, you know, ticking off things off your to-do list. And so I'm sharing this because I got to know that I'm one of the selected TEDx speakers. In 4 days, I have my first call with my coach. We're in the mountains in Andorra. Typically, the older version of me, the one that was completely disconnected to myself, to my body, to my mission, to my heart, to what I really want to do in my life, she would panic. And out of panic and out of that fear, she would just, even on holidays, open her laptop and fanatically work, you know? She wouldn't allow herself to actually enjoy the time off or to be somewhere else, but she would just be so focused on working, which by the way, it's not that bad, but the difference here is that working out of fear and stress or working out of desire and alignment, that's two different things. And the older me would just work and hustle out of fear and out of fear and out of panic. And it's so liberating to have worked on that because, you know, in that moment we're in Andorra and I didn't work per se, meaning I didn't sit down and work on my talk, writing down stuff, but we were walking. Like the best thing that I could have done in this moment was actually step away from it all and be in nature. And incredible timing, how the universe puts these things together. It's exactly what we're doing. We were in the deepest mountains in Andorra, surrounded by beautiful green forest and decent and yeah, very decent mountains actually, in a really cool hotel. And we spent most of our time outside. We went for hikes. We were lying on the floors in the middle of the forest, just relaxing, taking naps outside. Roxy was with us. We went for lunches outside, you know, in those, in German, it's Hütte. So in those like cabins in the forest. We went for incredible dinners. We went out nicely. Like, it was exactly what I needed at the time to prepare myself with my body and my mind for the next couple of weeks that is gonna come in preparation for the TEDx event. And this was so refueling because I just remember we went for a hike, we are climbing up, it's been already 1.5 hours, my legs hurt, I'm sweating, the sun is shining on my face, and we sit down on the ground, essentially in the middle of the trees. And I just lay back, put my head on my backpack, and I'm just there, like breathing in between those trees with the blue sky. And I'm closing my eyes. And for a couple of minutes, there is no thought that crosses my mind. And then I was in this state between like being awake and being in deep sleep, right? And these are where the most incredible ideas actually came up. And so I was like, okay, I could link this topic to that, this na-na-na, I could do the na-na-na. And then, you know, I was processing, but not actively. It was more effortlessly in between like the trees and the nature. It was fucking amazing. And this is that I knew that I'm making progress, right? Like I've been still processing, reflecting, and co-creating this talk with the universe, essentially. You know, I know this might sound a bit like a woo, but it's like really like the moment you silence yourself and you're in between the state, between deep sleep and awakeness, essentially, which is a different type of brain wave that is being fostered here, which goes deep in the subconscious and deep into this alignment between your mission and your heart. That's how you want to create that, right? That's the energy you want to create, something important like that that can help and inspire people. And so this is what has been going on for like 2, 3 days. You know, I have just been processing, let's say, with these moments, spending time outside reflecting for myself in solitude and quietness, eating well. And the moment then we came back, and then I had on Sunday the talk with my coach, that's then when the real, that's then not the real work. I don't want to say that. I want to say that that's then when things were being then put onto paper, essentially, onto a document. And the talk of my topic was, or the way that I pitched it is, was why being stuck is a sign of your next breakthrough. And so with the coach in the first session, we just fleshed it out. What are the key points, stories? She gave me some tips, content, etc. And so I worked on it on Sunday, started to create bits and pieces together. And then on Tuesday, we had another session. And by that time, my talk was supposed to be ready more or less, right? As much as possible. And so I worked on it. You know, typed it down in my Google Doc, created the stories, created a narrative, And they continue to give me guidelines on what they know works well with TEDx talks or TED Talks in general, which I don't want to go into too depth right now. It's something that I'm covering in depth in Speak Your Mind Freely, because people that are in Speak Your Mind Freely are those people that wanna end up, or let's say, embrace the opportunity of a TEDx stage. So I'm sharing these things more there. But essentially, what happens is that they're giving you a specific guideline, right? Of like, these are the things on how to do a TEDx talk, and that's the guideline that I've been following in for my own talk. And you know, I was working on it. It was going okay. I was excited, and I felt I was doing well, right? And so on Tuesday, I had the second session with my coach. She gave me some feedback. I incorporated it, and then that's then because she gave me some feedback around things that I should do differently, and so I did them in that way, which then I realized that. That's the moment where something felt off, because I created the narrative in one way, but the feedback that I got, okay, it's not so much, let's say, aligned with the guidelines that were given by her in terms of the structure. And so I tried to make it fit into those guidelines. And that's then when I start to realize, okay, something, I'm not sure. I'm not sure how much I liked it. And then, you know, I went to bed and it kind of bugged me inside of me, like in my gut. I was like, I'm not sure if I'm feeling this. I'm not sure if this is what I want to do. And so then the next day, I read through the talk and I was like, fuck, I don't like it. There's something is not right. Like I'm not sure what it is, but there's something that I don't feel here. And so what I did, I went to my biggest cheerleader and my biggest critic, which is Jeremy, my partner. We've been together for 10 years. And besides me knowing myself best, he knows me very, very well, right? And of course, he's been part on this whole journey. He knows the message that I want to share. And so I went to him and I read to him my talk. And after the talk, he basically confirmed to me what I was feeling, but I wasn't able to tell myself, essentially, or I wasn't able to pinpoint. And he gave me pretty harsh feedback in terms of the talk, but in a very loving way. So this is then, you know, when you go either to friends or family members or your partner, it's very, very important that you are very clear on what you're asking for when you get this feedback, so that you're not hurt. Because, for example, I went to him and I said, okay, I'm gonna read to you this talk, and I want you to put on, please, your hat as an audience member and as a coach, essentially, because he's also a certified coach. I don't want you to put the hat on right now as my partner and tell me what I want to hear. I need you to put the hat on now as a coach, as a potential audience member, and tell me what I need to hear, not what I want to hear. And that was very important to establish the boundary, to establish that clear need that I needed from him that he wasn't able to take on. And so I read to him my talk, I delivered it to him, and he gave me exactly the things that I needed to hear. Now, did I want to hear them? No. Of course not. Who the fuck wants to hear that? Basically, what he told me, no, this, he said, well, there are many great things about this talk, yet it's not you. This is too long. This is too boring. There's something missing. And essentially, the feedback that he has given me is that I'm not fully myself. And the way that he knows me, I can deliver this in my way rather than in the way that it should be. And he said all of these things, and you know, I'm a crier, so I started to cry. But more, you know, more of a, it was more crying around like, but I know this. I know that this is not me, and I know, you know, I invested now the last 3 days fully dedicated to this. I followed the guidelines, but what do I do now? It's like I started to cry because I wasn't sure whether I'm able to do this on my own and go, let's say, against the guidelines and the suggestions and stay true to myself. This is fucking hard, you know? It's fucking hard to be like, okay, I trust myself so much in what I want to share and how I want to share it that I'm gonna do it anyways. and I'm gonna do it full, and I'm gonna do it full me. And so I doubted myself. And so then Wednesday was Wednesday evening after dinner, I cried for like an hour because I was like, you know, it's a lot of pressure. And truth is, I gave myself a lot of pressure because I make it mean something. Whenever we have crazy high expectations or crazy high pressure on ourselves on something, it's actually because we make it mean something, you know? If I were to reframe this in my head, in my brain, of like, well, it's just another stage and I can share a message with a small group, then it wouldn't feel so much pressure. Instead, you know, in my brain, I was like, oh my God, it's the TEDx stage. I've been, you know, it can be pivotable for my business. And it's also important because I really, really want to share this method, this idea that can help people, you know? And so that's the meaning I gave to it. And the more meaning you give something to it, and the more attached you are to that meaning, the more pressure you create for yourself. And so I needed to regulate my emotions. I needed to let out those tears. I needed to let out this frustration. And I needed to let out that self-doubt, right? After that feedback. And it's so interesting because especially in relationships, and that's so much hard work that Jeremy and I put into our relationship. Because after he had the hat on as a coach, as a professional certified coach and as an audience member and gave me the direct feedback, then he switched his hat to a loving, supportive and kind partner. And that's when he just, you know, he helped me and I was crying to his shoulders. And I was like, I don't know if I can do it. And then he encouraged me. It's like, you got this. You can do it. You came that far because of you and your mission and your authenticity. So now it's not the time to be someone you don't want to be. And so he really motivated me. He really gave me a pep talk. And the other thing, I've been sharing that whole journey as it was happening very openly on my Instagram as well, in my Instagram stories. So I, you know, for those of you that follow me on Instagram, there's actually a whole story highlight on TEDx the journey and then TEDx the talk, the day itself, where I've been sharing these things of like, okay, right, it's Wednesday, it's 1 week to the event. I need to have the talk ready by Saturday because that was the deadline for all the TEDx speakers to have the talk ready because we had a trial presentation to the TEDx committee. And my talk was ready 90%, but I don't like it. I don't feel it. It's not me. It's not what I want to present. It's not how I want to present it. And I'm just fucking lost right now. And the worst thing that you could do in this moment is to continue to work and continue to try to make it work in that moment, in that emotional state. So in my work as a somatic coach, as a breathwork instructor, as an emotional intelligence consultant, and as a professional certified coach, of course, the biggest single lesson that I really came to learn that the most important part is to give space to emotions and live that roller coaster. Like no one in the fucking world prepares for like a TEDx talk or for something big or important in their life being every day extremely excited, motivated, confident and happy. It's not possible. Like in this process, of course there is the roller coaster, and we might as well just learn to have fucking fun on this roller coaster, and we might as well just be like, okay, I know this, you know, you go up and then you feel like all this excitement. And then there's this point in the roller coaster where it just drops down and you almost vomit yourself and you just don't want to be here and you scream. It's just like, what the fuck am I doing? I don't want this. Ah. And that's exactly the same in your life and in your journey with all of these things. It's exactly the same. And it's been exactly the same for me this 1 week leading up to the TEDx event of like, you know, I felt super energized, motivated after my daughter coming back, working on my talk, getting it ready, then kind of becoming very like neutral, and then realizing, fuck, I'm in this deep, I don't like it. And in that moment, what I've then done on Friday, so after I shared it also on Instagram, I got incredible support from Jeremy, and I got incredible support from you, from those people, from you people from the community. And this has been so incredible to witness and see, like the messages that I've been getting of like, you got this, stay true to yourself, you got like so many incredible messages that really were like, okay, I can do this. Like other people, they do believe that I can do this. So I need to make myself believe. I want to make myself believe that I can do this and stick to myself. And so in that moment, what I've done, it was Wednesday evening. I closed my laptop. I went for a big walk. I went outside, just away from the environment, away from this whole topic, distance myself. I came back and journaled for like 1 hour about all the thoughts that were coming on or coming up, and then I did somatic work to regulate my nervous system, right? To regulate my nervous system so that I'm not in the fight, flight, or freeze response, but that I'm able to process the emotion of like fear, the emotion that I experienced of like uncertainty, the fears of failing, the fears of making mistakes, all of these things, right? So I processed that. I processed this through crying, through moving my body, through going for a walk, through listening to music, through journaling, through sitting in silence, and then through nervous system modifiers, which are basically different, let's say, techniques that you do with your body in order to process emotions, because emotions are the language of your body. And so you cannot only process whatever's going on with your mind. You have to also process it in your body. And then in that moment, so I've done all of this. Basically, I was 2 hours in my office, in my creative safe space where I typically do these things. And then after that, I took the letter that I wrote about my vision of this TEDx event that I shared with you in part one, and I read it to myself again. And I was like, okay, this is why I do it. I do it to really inspire and help others to take aligned action, and this can really help others. And I know this because it worked for me. I know this because it worked for my clients. This is not about my fear anymore. This is way bigger. It has to get out there. And so I centered myself. So basically, I stepped away from everything for 3, 4 hours. And after this whole process, I found this new spurt of creativity and almost like a download. So I opened a new, completely fresh Google Doc, and I typed out like just some key points, some keywords that came up, dumped it all there without even seeing if it makes sense, closed the laptop. And then basically the Thursday, the day after, I didn't work on it the full day up until the evening. In the morning, I went for a walk, I went to the beach, went for a swim, really like recentering to myself, not like again creating something out of fear, but finding myself first and creating that trust and stability and neutrality in myself, having processed all of these emotions and then creating it out of that. I went to massage, which was super important. Went for a nice lunch with my soul food, for coffee, ate a cake. Like I really went outside and just did the things that make me feel good and helped me to find myself again and find my center. And then it was evening, it's 8 p.m. After dinner, I was like, okay, I'm now fucking ready to do it my way. And I felt this conviction, after having done the work on Wednesday evening and then Thursday, the whole day, I was like, okay, I'm fucking ready to do it my way. I took my laptop, went outside into the garden of the community that we have here, because in the corner there's this wooden bench in between trees and surrounded by green. And I went there, opened my laptop. It was the sunset. I put in Theta Waves music to stimulate a certain brainwave for creativity, and it was just flowing. I type, rearranged. I was outside. It was from 8 till 11. It became dark, but I was in my zone. It was crazy, and created the talk. Shut down the laptop again. My coach was starting to be like, okay, so what's the news? I told her on Wednesday, hey, look, dear coach, I don't like it. It's not like me. We had then a quick call on Friday morning, the day after, and she was then really amazing. And this is where I can differentiate a okay coach and a great coach. An okay coach in this situation would be like trying to make it still work to fit their needs or their guidelines, right? She could have coached me of being like, yeah, okay, how can we make sure that it still fits into the guidelines? How can we make sure that we follow these steps, which doesn't allow you to be you, essentially, Whereas she was listening to me while I was expressing what I was actually feeling with this whole talk. And she was listening and she was like, okay, how can I support you best during that time? And I was like, well, I need your feedback, of course. I want to do it my way. I don't want to use slides. I don't want to ask these questions. I want to actually show something on stage. I want to include the audience while I do my talk. And I just need you to give me, it's going to be different. And I just need you to give me feedback whether you like it, as an audience member or not at all. Get taking away and forgetting all the guidelines and all the kind of, let's say, traditional ways on how we've seen the TED Talks happening. And she's like, okay, cool, I'll do that. And this is where you know it's a great coach that you work with, because that coach doesn't try to make you fit somewhere that you don't want to fit in. That coach then creates an environment and a space for you to find your voice. And for you to do it your way and give you the support that you need in that time, shielding your way from everything else. And so basically, she told me even before that, it's like, forget all the input, don't listen to anybody, like, just take the time for you, center yourself, don't listen to like any other podcast, don't listen to any other TED Talks, just do you. And so that's what I've been doing. And I finished then the talk around like 90% by Friday afternoon. I spoke to it on a voice message and I sent it to my coach via WhatsApp. So I recorded it, talking into it. It was like 12 minutes long, and as if I were to present it, and I sent it to her. And I remember, like, I sent it to her and I left my phone and I stepped away from everything for like 5 hours. Like, I didn't want to. I was like, okay, I created my speech, I did it my way, it's kind of different, I really like it, I'm standing behind it. So now it's around getting the buy-in essentially from the coach and the committee, right, that they are okay with, to do for that they are okay actually for me to do it that way. And then yeah, I sent it over, and then again I went outside, spent time on the beach, just trying to like be in a moment, do exercise, tune into my body, silence, and just creating that self-trust of like, okay, even though maybe they say no, that this is not at the end what they want, at least I'd rather miss this opportunity knowing that I don't have to do it half-heartedly. Because that's at the end the options that I had, right? When I decided, or so on Wednesday, when I decided to do it my way, I had two options that I had to re seriously ask myself. I was like, okay, either I keep this talk like that, but I'm gonna deliver it like at 50% because I don't fully feel it and I don't fully like, this is not fully me. So either I deliver that, but wholeheartedly and not as 100% me, or I start from scratch and I do me at the risk that that's not something that they want. And even just reflecting on this now, it took fucking balls to actually do this. And so this is the other key takeaway that I want you to take away, actually two in this process up until this stage, which is number one, if you create something as you and you don't feel it 100%, go to the person that knows you very well and be clear on what you need from them and asking for feedback. Tell them that you need them to be now honest and direct and wear a specific hat, and be also then ready to get feedback that is very direct and honest, and it might potentially hurt, but that's what you need to hear, not what you want to hear, but what you need to hear. And the second piece is that really reflect that whenever you do something, are you doing it as you? And I guess this is really, really relevant, especially as a business owner and as a creator or creative person in your business as a coach. It's like, it's so, so, so important to continue to stay your authentic self and creating whatever you want to create your fucking way, and developing that self-trust, not letting self-doubt overcome. Okay. And so then Friday evening, I look at my phone before bed. It was like around 9 p.m. or something. I look at my phone, I got couple of messages from this coach after she had listened to my WhatsApp. And you know what? Let me actually I didn't plan to do this, but I'm going right now to WhatsApp and I'm going to the chat I have with her. And I'm going up to the message. Okay, so I send it to her. Yeah, all right. Here's the recording. Curious to hear your feedback. And then she literally wrote here, awesome. Yes, let's see the constructive feedback from the team. I'll send it to them and we get feedback tomorrow. Just so you know that yours is one that I like the most. I read this and I'm like, tears coming down my face. And I'm like, fuck. I did it my way. I shared it and the feedback is actually good. And I replied to her, what? With like five question marks. And I was like, you're not just saying this. And she's like, true, not feelings. This is really great, Claudia. Holy fuck. I put my phone down. I put my favorite song, which is in that relation, High Hopes by Panic at the Disco, and I was just dancing it out. I was crying, and this time I was not crying out of like fear and fuck, like how I'm gonna do this, but I was crying of like excitement of like fuck, I stood to myself and it's well received. And honestly, that feeling of creating something as fully you and doing it differently than everyone else and getting good feedback, this is one of the most rewarding feelings ever, ever, ever fucking ever. And so what she meant is that on Saturday, so a couple of days before the event, there was the whole committee, the TEDx committee, which consists of like six people that went through all the TEDx talks and they had to present and they would give feedback on the talk, what to change, what to not to change, or if it's good or not. And this is like another sign that you're working with a great coach. She actually told me to not come to that. To that rehearsal online. It was a Zoom meeting essentially. She told me to not come to that rehearsal and she will take care. She will share with them basically the voice message that I recorded and she will take the feedback, if any, and share it with me. And she did that because she knew the position that I was in and she didn't want me to get confused or she didn't want me to doubt myself more by listening to the other speakers talk and by getting feedback on the point that would maybe distract me even more. She created this shield or this environment for me to be me without me getting distracted by others in this journey where I was still finding that confidence in myself, if you see what I mean, right? And that was incredible. And so I was like, okay, I trust you. You're the expert here. I trust you. I didn't come to that rehearsal. And instead, what I did, I spent the whole afternoon on the beach, swimming, chilling, journaling, being in the moment, which was amazing and exactly what I needed. Because the way you find back to yourself is not to do more, the way you find back to yourself and create that self-trust and centeredness is to be outside, move your body, and just be by yourself for a bit. Evening comes, she sends me a message. They really liked it, just very minor points. It's a great talk, just some kind of minorities on like structure and stuff like that, which was very easily implementable. And turned out that I got just very little feedback to really improve on, which was fucking it was fucking incredible. And keep in mind that those are people that have been organizing TEDx talks for 4 years. One of them is actually director of the marketing communications track at the IE Business School, who has been working as a script director for multiple movies, who also won Oscars, which is crazy. And so having gotten that feedback that it's actually good. Like it's very different, but it's actually freaking good. Do it that way. It's different. It's innovative. It's an idea worth spreading, and just do it your way was so fucking amazing. And so that was Saturday, and then basically I was like, okay, cool. 2 days ago, I had no clue what the fuck I'm gonna do. I started from scratch with my talk, And within 2 days, between this balance of like being outside, regulating my nervous system, centering myself, and then actually creating the talk, I created something that I'm just fucking proud of and that is well received, and I do it my way. It's just so fucking liberating. And this is where you develop this self-trust in yourself. And this has nothing to do with arrogance. It's more around like, who do you want to be to the audience? How do you want to show up? What kind of leader do you want to lead this by? You know, like, what's the version of yourself you want to be when doing this? And whenever I ask myself this question and center myself back, it's really this question of like, what kind of person you want to be when you do this? You know, what do you want to inspire in others? These are the questions that always centered me back. And the answers to that you get only when you remove yourself and take a break. When you remove yourself and take a break, and get outside and center yourself instead of trying to force it to make it work. And so that was a fucking incredible journey. And so Sunday comes, I've been then just rehearsing some minor things just to add. And it's one of these things, like the more you rehearse, the more you speak it out loud, the more kind of little things you just adjust, you make it shorter, all of these things. And then on Sunday, I shared it then again with Jeremy, and he was like, holy fuck, you can't compare to what I had before. This is so much better. It's so much you, like, you fucking got this, you smashed it. I'm so proud of you. And that's the energy that I've been then preparing myself for. And so Tuesday, we then left to Madrid. And I spent basically Sunday and Monday with two things: rehearsing, rereading, presenting. I presented in my office, I presented on the balcony, I went for a walk with Roxy, I was talking it through, I went to the beach, I presented to the ocean. People think I'm crazy, but I don't give a shit. And just rehearsing while in the shower, all the time, just like creating these connections and creating this, the emotion also of what I want to share and how I want to share it. And on Monday, again, I spend majority of the day regulating my nervous system, finding myself in this peaceful state, in this calm and centered state. I had another massage, went for big walks, went to my favorite cafe. I've been rehearsing in between, rereading in between, and that's how I prepared for it. And the best thing is, like, I prioritized my sleep every night, because here's the thing, like, I'm sharing all of this, like, what I've been doing in terms of like nervous system regulation, going outside, moving, sleeping, prioritizing yourself, prioritizing your body, prioritizing your mind, prioritizing your health, prioritizing centering to yourself. I'm stressing this here so much because you are way more powerful than you think. You can only access the power the less you are trapped in self-doubt and the less you are trapped in only doing. Like, don't get me wrong, you have to do and you have to be in the doing in order to get things done. Of course, it's about the balance between not only hustling and doing and creating stuff out of scarcity, out of fear, but actually stepping back and being more in the being, regulating your nervous system, regulating your stress levels, prioritizing things that are good for your mind and body, like good food, whole food, less sugar, sleep, all time outside, time in the sun, because this is what will create a calm state in your body, in your nervous system, physiologically, which then has an impact on your mental state as well, on how you're approaching it and how you're dealing with it. Right. And so this whole journey up until preparing for it up until Tuesday is such an incredible and beautiful experience that for the first time ever, for such an important thing, like for me, the TEDx stage was to actually be more in the being than only in the doing and hustling to make it work, has just to be proven to be the best thing I could have done for my body, mind, and soul. And also then for me to be able to share this in the best way possible. Because without all this nervous system work, without all this time prioritizing my body, prioritizing massages, prioritizing food, prioritizing grounding, prioritizing journaling, all of that stuff, without all of that, I wouldn't have the ability and the trust in myself to scratch the whole talk 1 week before and start new, doing it differently and doing it my way. And this in itself is just fucking worth it. Fucking worth it. Okay, so my dear listener, that is part two. In part three, we are talking about the day itself, the moment I arrived to Madrid, one night before, and then the TEDx event itself, what happened. There's some stuff that happened there as well that I didn't expect, and that I think you would be very interested to hear as well. And with that, I hope you're gonna tune into part three. And to close up on part two of this whole journey, let's just recap some of the things that I would love for you to take away, if anything. Number one, nervous system regulation. Meaning, for everything in your life, the small things, the big things, the in-between things, the most important thing you can do for yourself and others is to prioritize the time to regulate yourself, to regulate your stress level, to come back into centeredness, to come back to yourself, to connect to yourself again. Nervous system regulation. You'll achieve way more by being more in the being than only in the doing. And I really want you to catch yourself and observe for yourself. Whenever you do something that you really want to do, you know, a hobby, a topic you're passionate about, creating something, you know, whatever it is, are you doing it with what kind of emotion? Are your stress levels so high that you're doing it out of fear and doing it like, fuck, I have to do it, otherwise I'm going to miss out on something, etc.? Catch yourself, stop yourself, and instill like a new emotion of like, okay, how can this be easy for you? How can you actually enjoy this? After all, you wanted this. After all, you want to do this, you want to enjoy it. So how can you enjoy it? Challenge your fucking brain. Challenge your brain. Number two, in anything that you do in your pursuit for any goal, embrace all the emotions. Take away the expectation that just because that's what you wanted to do and just because that this is your biggest dream, that you have to be happy and excited and motivated every single day up until, you know, like on the journey or up until it happens. It is not realistic. Embrace the roller coaster. Embrace the emotions of like self-doubt creeping in. I had them, as I told you, I had them many times. So can I do this? Who am I the fuck to be like suddenly on a TEDx stage talking about a method that I created? Like, of course these thoughts come up. It's not about getting rid of those thoughts. It's about learning or deciding for yourself how long you want to stay in them. And that's your power and that's your decision to take. Because truth, self-doubt will always be here. What you're healing here is the habit of self-doubt. Because self-doubt is a recurring pattern, which by default is a habit. And so breaking that and deciding for yourself, okay, I'm experiencing this. Like I have in this journey, I've experienced a month of self-doubt. So it's like, okay, do I want to stay in this or do I want to break free? I want to fucking break free. I'm not going to give in to self-doubt. I want to enjoy this. And so be aware and challenge yourself and break that habit of self-doubt. How? By just embracing all the emotions, literally. You want to cry because you're frustrated? Cry. You want to fucking scream into a pillow because you have a block and you don't know what you want to say? Do that. Let it out. Trust your intuition. Trust your body on the ways on how you want to release the tension and do it. It has to be processed for you to come back to neutrality. Number three, ask your biggest critics that you trust, your biggest loving critics, essentially, that you trust for honest feedback, and be very clear in what you're asking for. Like if you're in a relationship or with your best friend even, right? Don't assume that they know what you need and how you need the feedback to be delivered. You need to know yourself so well or well enough that you're able to express it and saying it's like, I'm going to read this to you now. And what I need from you is to be not my partner, but to be a critic and an audience member and give me honest feedback around that. Be clear on what you need and communicate that. Because assuming that your friend or your partner knows what you need is what creates a lot of resentment and actually misunderstanding because you don't feel understood. But it's not fair towards the people that are around you to assume, to think that they know what you need. Instead, get clarity on what you actually need in that moment and express it in that way. And number four, honestly, you know what? Just be your fucking self. Find your own authenticity. And what I mean by find your own authenticity is believe in yourself. Work on that self-doubt. Heal that self-doubt. Work on these fears. Find like your authentic self, which basically your authentic self is exactly that. It's you coming from a place not of fear, not of ego, not of pain, not of suffering, but the authentic you is coming from a place of centeredness, of calmness, of wanting to make an impact and doing it for the greater good. Find that for yourself. How? Again, facing your emotions, taking the time for yourself, taking the time for your body, prioritizing yourself. For real. Do it. And if you're more interested in learning the tools and the strategies and how to do that, reach out to me. I have them for you. And I know the things that really move the needle and how they can help you to process all of the shit that is going on and create that unfucking shakable self-trust for you. Okay. My dear listener, thank you for listening to part two. And as always, as a closing tradition, take your right hand, put it over your heart, take in a breath, and know that everything you need, want, and desire is exactly right here where your hand is. You got this. Bye.